I want to share with you this morning at the beginning of the year the scriptures that were read when we had the kids up here. That when we come to the Lord, confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you know, it's too many times that's where we put the period. Because that's what we've heard. If we'll confess our sins, He'll forgive us of our sins. And that's true. But the scripture goes on to say, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And many times we look at it like this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And now you go out here and be right, make yourself righteous. That's the way it comes through in our filtering system. But you can't make yourself righteous, no matter how hard you try. But it says, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. And all things are of God. Now, you need to remember that last part on that verse of Scripture, and all things are of God. Because that's simply saying, all that you're going to get, God's going to do it. Anything that you're going to accomplish, He's going to accomplish it. Now, we have to put forth an effort. You know, we have to be obedient. We have to give ourselves to the Lord. But we don't start out right here and then now see how righteous you can make yourself in 6 months. Oh, you're not quite righteous enough in 6 months, so make yourself righteous for another 6 months. And I'm going to tell you something. 6 months, 6 months, 6 months, that's 18 months, 6 months, 24. Now, you are not going to see yourself any more righteous after what you do in 24 months than you saw yourself 24 months ago. If you see yourself more righteous by what you've done in the next 6 months, you know what you have?
A problem.
You have a problem, and your problem is you're relying on self-righteousness. If you can do what you do and then you see yourself better because you did what you did, you're not working and walking in the righteousness of God. You're self-righteous. And self-righteous people are not very highly esteemed in scriptures. So, he became sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things are of God, and all things are new. Not restored, not rebuilt, not reconditioned, not recycled. Made new. And you go, how can that be? I just don't understand how you can make something new. You'd have to replace it, wouldn't you? We would. Because that's the best we can do. If you're going to work on your own righteousness, it's always going to be recycled and it's never going to be new. And there's always going to be something wrong with it because that's the best you can do. It's not... When Jesus Christ changes your life, He doesn't use Bondo. Or duct tape. He uses new stuff. Stuff made out of the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. That when it's placed onto you and in you, it starts changing you. You know what nanobots are? They're really, really little small robot creatures that man's come up with since the computer industry and the computer era has just taken off. And they've accomplished so much. And And there's little nanobots that are actually little creatures. They're artificial, of course. Computer run. But they're creatures. Some of them are small, you can't see them. But you amplify them, and there's this little robot. And he's got a specific purpose. Whatever he was created to do. I was watching a movie the other day, and it was about the government experiment, and they were creating weapons of warfare. And they had this little thing that was supposedly replicate itself when it was implanted into a host. And it would start turning that, whatever it was, it would start turning that into whatever it was designed to turn itself into. And it checked out everything around it. I mean, it was programmed to replicate whatever it came in contact with. And it came in contact with a crocodile. The thing is, accidentally, if there was a plane problem or something, it fell out of a plane, landed in a zoo, was connected to this crocodile, and then started changing the crocodile from a regular crocodile into a robotic crocodile with a bad, nasty, warlike temperament. But anyway, the point I'm making is that this little thing that was ingested into this alligator turned the whole alligator into metal, theoretically now. And when we allow the life of God to come into us, it starts changing us. It doesn't just repair the damage that was done. It changes us into something entirely new, a new species of individual that's absolutely impervious to pain. But you know, the more that thing changed, the stronger it got. And they managed to kill it before it got completely away from being a crocodile. If it had gotten to the point where there was no more of a natural crocodile left in it, they wouldn't have been able to do anything with it. Now think about that. If Jesus Christ is making us new, the more we allow him to make us new, the less chance the devil has to get us down.
Amen.
Stronger we get. You know what he uses to build us with? The Word. We're creatures of the Word. We're built by the Word. We become new. We're something different. And like I said in the bulletin this morning, there's two ways that you can get to the point where you can understand what you are and who you are, and that's information and experience. Any of you sit in the church maybe for years and never even heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Never even mentioned? Maybe you sat in churches for years, never even heard anything about healing. Start somewhere back there. Maybe you got this information all your life, and I know you did if you grew up here. But you finally started hearing it somewhere. You got information that the Bible says God wants to heal you. Wants to forgive all your iniquities and heal all of your diseases. He wants to prosper you. He wants to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you start building on that information. And the more information you got, the more logical it sounded. And then after a while of gathering that information, you're beginning to believe. And then you thought, man, well, this sounds wonderful. I'm going to experience this. And so you asked for whatever it was. You asked for a healing. You got it. You asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. You prayed to get a bill paid, and the money came in miraculously, and you paid the bill. You began to experience what information you had received. But did you know in the kingdom of God, sometimes you can get what God has through experience without information. If you happen to be in the right place at the right time. Because there's been people that walked into services and never even thought about believing that God would heal anybody. They get in that service and the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. And you weren't expecting anything, or they weren't expecting anything because they didn't know anything, but everybody else in there was fired up because they were expecting God to do something. And then the individual was called up front and given a word and said, God showed me, and they're standing there and they pray for them and they walk out of there healed and had no idea anything about it when they came in, but they experienced something. Now, if they're smart, they'll start learning something so they can keep what they experienced. And not believe that it was just a shot in the dark. And this year, you need to believe for new things from the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here this morning know that you have experienced everything that God has for you? Anybody in here that just would say, I've had everything God has for me and there's nothing else I lack. I can never get anything else from Him because I've got it all. I don't see any hands. I'm certainly not going to put my hand up. But that's what I'm believing for this year. I'm going to experience things in God that I've never seen before.
Right.
New things. I mean, I know a lot of stuff. I've experienced a lot of stuff. But I know a lot of stuff that I haven't experienced. But this is a new year. The new attitude. You know, I told Laverne the other day, she was talking about something, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, I done got this planned out. This was 3 or 4 days ago. Maybe it was the day after New Year's. I said, I'm planning on getting rested up through this holiday season from some things that I've been dealing with. I'm planning on getting the message ready for Sunday morning. I'm going to church Sunday morning. I'm going to preach that message. And then Monday, I am going to start this year. That's tomorrow. I'm going to start into this year as though nothing were ever wrong with me. Now, I want to share something. Testimony. I shared this Wednesday night, but since Wednesday night, it's increased. Back earlier, few weeks ago, and I was sharing some of the situation here at the church and the condition with the finances, and when Lottie and I would talk, I would generally say, God's going to take care of it. I don't know how, but He's going to take care of it. And I was thinking about that one day a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, I think it was when we were on our way up to Scott's. And, you know, you're thinking about God providing. And God just, you know, he says, I'll take care of you, I'll take care of you. And then we try to figure out how. And make suggestions. Well, God, you could do it this way. Well, I was thinking about that, and the devil came up and he said to me, and maybe it was just a little demonic financial demon. But anyway, he said to me, hey, you're talking about God taking care of you and about how I can just, you know, and he said, now who do you know that could do that? Or that would do it? I didn't say anything. Didn't have anything to say. And then, you know, something started happening. In the past 2 weeks, we have gotten $7,300 through the mail. Now, you know, some of it is logical. Some of it I still don't know how it happened. I mean, I know how much money, I know where it came from, but I certainly don't know how. Ever seen a situation like that? You know, God confuses you, confounds you sometimes just to make sure that you understand he's still God and you're not. And when I saw the letter, I mean, I knew it was money when I saw it, and I thought, okay, $300, maybe $600. Looking back through past things, Laverne opened the envelope, and she said, Jerry, look at this. And I looked at it. Are you serious? Was I expecting it? No. I was expecting God to do something, but I sure wouldn't have put that on my list. Instead of a $300 check, it was a $4,400 check. And I still don't understand it. But God does. So, you know, dare to believe without conditions. We want to believe God with conditions. And the conditions are how we can figure out that he can do it. You suppose Abraham ever figured out how God was going to make him a father of many nations when he was as good as dead, the scripture says? But he did it. Now, you're probably going to have some things you're going to have to deal with this year. Don't put a lunge line, if you know what that is. Don't put a lunge line on God and say, you can only go this far. I can only believe you for this far. Turn him loose.
Amen.
Say, God, whatever you have to do, you're going to do it. If it's something that I can't even fathom. Because your word says that you are able to do exceedingly above and beyond all that you can ask or even think. That's the way you need to approach this new year. This new year may be too big for you to handle. But it's not too big for God. You've heard this before, but I see it. If you go up Jamestown Street, have you read the little marquee out in front of the church there? The house of prayer. It says, now I don't know exactly if I've heard it a couple different ways. I knew it, but anyway, it's paraphrases this. Stop telling God how big your mountain is and start telling your mountain how big your God is. And that's what we all need to do coming up this year. Now, you got a good start. You're alive, you're here. You got God on your mind. You're alive, you're here with God on your mind. Okay, that's your year. I'm alive, I'm here, and God's on my mind. How can I go wrong? Amen. You know, I've been up here and I've been sharing this, and I still got my mind on that little illustration for the kids. A wadded up, crumpled up piece of paper that's been kicked around, pushed around, bent around, stomped on. All the things that happen to us in life. And then realizing that in Christ, all of those hurts, all of those problems and troubles, all of that can be done away with in Him. So, dare to believe. And I'll remind you this Thursday night at the house, we're going to be continuing on the Bible study of Dare to Believe. At 6:30. Unless I've forgotten something, I'm finished. Okay. Yeah, Laverne said, remind you again, 1 o'clock. Is that what time you said? 1 o'clock Saturday. If you're available to help take decorations down, they would really appreciate it. Now, we have come to a part in our service that's a special, special part. It's communion. That we have every first Sunday of the month with everybody in here. And I don't need to preach a communion sermon for you to know that what we're about to do is what they said in the scriptures when Jesus told his disciples, this is my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he was talking about the bread and the wine. What did it do? It made you new. It was a spiritual blood transfusion that took away everything that you had in you that was lacking. And God sees you now as righteous. And you need to remind yourself. And one of the best ways to remind yourself is to partake in the communion service, understanding what it is. That it is a remembrance of the work that Jesus did when he said on the cross, it is finished. And that his body that was lashed and tore and bloody was a beating that this world wants you to take. And the blood It's a life-giving source where the Old Testament and Leviticus, rather. There's a life's in the blood. And in our case, our new life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. You know, we don't celebrate that looking in remembrance of what we've done for him. We celebrate it looking in remembrance of what he's done for us. He made you worthy to partake of it. You didn't make yourself worthy. He gave you life. This is a reminder. And we're going to take it like we normally do. Get ready for the ones that are going to be serving it. Come up, we'll be able to come up on both sides, and you bring your family with you, get the elements, take them, meditate with God, go back to your seat, and rejoice in your new life. Regardless of how long you've had it, it's still new.